Alrighty. Hey, gang. Welcome back, you guys. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another episode, episode 127 of Zero Carb Journal. I'm Matt, as always, and good morning, you guys. I hope you guys are having a great day, having a great morning. How are you? Did you have a good week? Did you make some progress? I hope so. My week was pretty good. I had a good one here. I've been moving forward, making progress myself, and I've had a good week. So here I am trying the live stream again. Oh, I see people. All right, Kuhner, little Viking coach. Hey, gang. All right, you guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for saying hi. Makes me feel really good to know that the stream is working. Awesome. So cool. So, yeah, I was just going to start talking about that. I know every time I start this thing and I start rambling on about the stream, so I'm going to try not to do that too much. But we're working on cell Wi-Fi or cell internet now. So I did upgrade, or I'm trying it out. It's expensive. I did a stream on my other channel on Wednesday, and it used up about half of this card. So I'm not sure if I'll be able to maintain it. Because I have to buy the gigs. But anyways, we'll see how it goes. But I think it's streaming a lot better than my other connection. So I'm happy to be moving forward here. Right on, you guys. Good to see ya. So yeah, this week's been good. Good for me anyways. I've just been kind of really digging in here on my projects at home, staying focused on my video stuff, my firewood chores, which are kind of beating me down, but every day I go out and cut down a tree and get it in there. Hey, Jackie, good to see you. Thanks for being here. All right. Sorry about the tiny squeaks there. My dog is really wound up. I've had herons and owls chasing my fish, my koi. And he's been just getting totally wound up. So, no, the Taylors. Oh, it's, I should send it to you, Kuhner. I haven't been playing it enough. It's still there. It's underneath. So I have these, you can see that white sheet back there. This is all records. I don't know. You can't see them. I could turn the camera, but this is a huge bookcase full of, like, I don't even know how many, 10,000 records. And so the sun shines in these windows, so I have these sheets that come down over the records, and so that white sheet is over the Taylor and over the records to protect them from the sun, but it's still hanging there. So, Jackie, thank you. I was just gonna get to my next point about quarantine. Which is, so I did this week finally bite the bullet, you guys, and I cut my own hair. And it's terrible, Jackie. It's not good. It's good, okay, there, but if I keep going, oh man, it's so messed up in the back. I was trying to use the clippers and do like a fade, and I think I mauled the back of my head. I mean, it's really bad. I think it's really bad. Actually, I should show you guys because no one's going to see it. So you ready? I haven't seen it. So I'll have to watch this video back and look at it. But look at what I did. I told you. I'm sure it's bad. I could kind of see it. I have a little tiny mirror. So I was thinking I would just face you guys, you know, and you wouldn't be able to tell. But now I've blown my cover. Okay, thank you, Jackie. Even the back, it can't look fine back there. It looks, seems like it's just a disaster. But yeah, I watched some YouTube videos and I got after it. And thanks, Kuhner. That does make me feel better. I haven't, you know, I did it on Wednesday, I think. And it'll probably be another week or so before I see any more humans. So I wasn't too concerned, but it does make me feel better because I was wondering if I was going to wear a hat when I went to go grocery shopping. So there's my quarantine tale for you. So yeah, so this week has been good, you guys. I stayed the course in terms of zero carb. I've just eaten pretty much ground beef. I was doing ground beef with some ribeye these past few weeks. And this week I went back to the store. They didn't have ribeye, but they did have, I don't forget what you call them, but when they slice the ribs, along the ribs, so you have the little circle bones inside the thin ribs. Anyways, I've been eating those, I would slow cooking them like 3 or 4 hours and then hitting them on the flat top real quick to kind of baconize them. And it's been adding a lot of fat to my diet. So I've been kind of trying to, you know, moderate how much I take in. They're really, really fatty. And for the most part, I've been feeling really good. But I did, Jackie, you'll like this. I did go to the store. And while I was there, I was like, oh, you know, shortages. Maybe I should just be filling my freezer while I can. So I grabbed some packs of bacon. And I ate one, and it was the cheap bacon. And bacon usually doesn't have a real profound, like, dramatic negative on me. It's usually, you know, a few days later, I'm like, okay, that's not so good. And this time, it didn't make me feel bad, but ever since I've eaten it, my bathroom habits have been totally different for the last 2.5 days or whatever. As a matter of fact, I just had to use the toilet again this morning for like the third time. I feel fine. It's just things are much more liquid, and I can see the bile or whatever. Like, it, I get my output is much lighter in color. Sorry for the detail, but yeah, so something, I'm pretty sure it was the bacon. It might just be that I'm eating more fat, and that does always bring more bile that my body seems to have a hard time handling. I'm not sure if I overproduce. Now I'm starting to think I overproduce and malabsorb. But at any rate, little differences this week. I'm going to pull the reins back in the week heading forward here and try and just get back to ground beef. I got a little wary or a little scared to keep eating that ground beef at the rate I was, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get it again at a reasonable price. I spent $700 at Costco to buy the 4 boxes of ground beef, and that should last me, oh, like 6 weeks or so. But if I have to go back, it's going to be more for the same amount of time. So I scheduled with my slaughter guy to have my cows slaughtered in about 3 or 4 weeks here. So come about 2 months, I'll have freezers full of beef. So I'm just going to try and slide my way to there, and this is kind of a long rambling way of saying, so I've been kind of opening up my options at the grocery store just to try and get through this time. So Jackie says bacon forever for me will now just be a cheat meal. I'm so off the bacon, 20 days bacon free, and I couldn't be happier. Jackie, I am so glad to hear that. You know, last week we missed you, and Karen and Kuhner and I were sitting here, and I don't remember if I said it out loud, but I was totally thinking, I was like, oh yeah, Jackie dropped bacon 2 weeks ago. I wonder how she's doing. I totally thought of you. And I'm so glad to hear that, because I know for me, there's no denying it. It changes things dramatically. It's not terrible, but things are way better. You know, just digestively and stuff. I'm just way more stable without it. So I'm so glad to hear you learned that that is the same for you, Jackie. I'm not glad that it is that way, but I believe in my heart that that's probably the case for everybody. I can't imagine that anyone can just totally process bacon without any side effects. You know, and it might be acceptable, but I think that if they took it out, they'd notice something. So anyways, that's great. So Kuhner says, man, I bought ground beef from grass-fed Highland cattle. Never knew ground beef could taste this good. Yeah, Kuhner, totally. Highlands are awesome. So Minor Dexters, they're actually related, not closely, but they're along those same lines of sort of small foraging Irish, you know, cattle from the islands. So wow, Jackie, I'm just gonna 8.4 pounds. Congratulations, that's amazing. Wow, that's killer. So glad, Jackie. That's wonderful, wonderful news. You'll still be able to enjoy it. You'll probably will enjoy it more, to be honest, when you're not eating it all the time. So yeah, Kuhner, isn't that amazing? I mean, so one of the things I read all the time on forums is people talking about, you know, the taste of grass-fed versus the taste of grain-fed, and I bought some from this farm, it tasted like this, and it was because it, you know, fed it this or whatever, and I always want to strongly caution people, because my experience now, having raised cows, is that every animal tastes different, and specifically the breeds matter immensely. So a Highland, you know, cattle is going to taste way different from a Shorthorn or anything else. So the breeds matter, how they're raised matters. But yeah, cattle are different, and they're all, I want to taste them all. Sarah, Thank you so much. That is so wonderful. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot to me. So Jackie, 8 pounds in 20 days is unreal. So yeah, for me with bacon, Jackie, that's a huge deal, is that whenever I'm having, so I always talk about my poop, sorry, but it's because for me, I learned through all my years of journaling that that's just the most obvious external indicator for me that indicates all the other things that are going on. So that's actually, in my opinion, my least important symptom. It bothers me the least, but it tells me what's going on. But what it always indicated to me, and so when I eat bacon and I have these, you know, looser stools and I know there's something going on, what it always indicated to me was it indicated that I had some sort of internal inflammation, some sort of internal struggle going on to balance things out. And when I would lose those elements from my diet, when I would cut them out, when I was weighing myself daily, which it sounds like you are, it was so easy to track that trend, Jackie, because I would do the same thing. I would go like crazy weight fluctuations that didn't make sense, like 10 pounds in a week or 2 weeks. And it was simply edema, I think. You know, I think it was just holding water from the inflammation that came from those events. But at any rate, it was really useful tracking data for me. It was my weight and my stool quality. And as soon as I drop those things like bacon, even though it's not making me feel terrible, my stool gets better and all of a sudden my weight stabilizes day to day and things like that. So I'm really happy that you're continuing to learn and move forward on your journey. That's so cool. So cool, Jackie. Wonderful, wonderful news. So poop chat, it is the best indicator of the state of things for sure. Esther, hi. Oh, hi, hi, hi. Oh, I'm so glad you guys are all making it here. This is so cool. So Jackie says you've had very loose dinner fast and thinking you're dumping from the effects of bacon. That's it for me. So even today I did again have that same, as a matter of fact, I woke up early because I had to get to the toilet. And it's not like an urgency, like pain or anything. It's just like it's real liquid and it won't stay in there very much longer. And sorry about the details, you guys, but it is part of it. And, you know, I ate that bacon on Wednesday afternoon, I think. Oh, and Thursday morning. Yeah, I had a little both. Cooked it Wednesday. So here we are Saturday, right? So I ate it Thursday. So Friday, Saturday. So I'm hoping that was the end of it. It looked like it. So it, to me, it seems like there's just little bits of it cured sitting in my digestive tract that don't digest immediately. And my system keeps making bile to try and get it to move. And then after laying down last night and, you know, waking up this morning, now I'm kind of full of bile and I'm flushing it out. And trying to flush those last little bacon bits out. And I will sometimes see those little stringy bits of fat in there days afterwards. So sorry about the details. Yeah, I know, Jackie. It is really helpful. And I do feel like it's really useful to talk about. I don't enjoy it. It doesn't bother me, but it's not like I love talking about it. But I do. I think it's really important. To me, it was game changing when I realized that paying attention to that, you know, could really help guide my actions and tell me, give me a lot of information. So I'm not afraid. So Deb, hi. All right. I am so glad, you guys, to have you all here. I'm so glad the stream is working. I'm really happy that, that this new internet connection seems to be working good. I got a status thing here that says my stream is good. So hopefully you guys can see me good. So Kuner says, I honestly don't enjoy bacon as much as I do good ground beef, and I do love pork ribs. Yeah, you know, Kuner, my tastes are definitely such that that the beef tastes much better to me. The bacon has that zing, you know, like bacon is spicy. It's not, you know, those are the wrong words, but relative to the other stuff we eat or I eat now, you know, unspiced ground beef. There's something about bacon. I don't like it better than the beef, but it just adds a nice counterpoint or something. I like to eat them together. I definitely, if I eat it by itself, that flavor kind of overwhelms me too. I definitely prefer the beef, but yeah, something about bacon is pretty, kind of latches onto you there. So, but I do, I love pork ribs and I love, beef is definitely better. And pork in general just doesn't make me feel well when I eat too much of it. So, Jackie, you're asking about Karen. Karen says the gal who is going to do a big fast on here. I know. I was thinking about her too. I hope she shows up. That's Karen in Germany, and I hope that I didn't scare her off. I didn't mean to be too harsh on that. I just general concern, but actual hope for her, you know, that she learns a lot from that step. So, Karen, hope you show up. So, Spanish Iberico ham, Esther, you are very fortunate. That's really good stuff. Really good stuff. And Jackie, yeah, bacon is kind of like candy. And that's a great way to think about it too, because I think, you know, for me, it's sort of, it plays that same role now. I mean, it's not quite that savory, you know, in terms of like, it doesn't overwhelm me with delight, as it were, but it serves that role in that it's kind of something special. It's a unique flavor, you know, it kind of lights up my mouth when I have it like mixed with my beef, but I also should treat it like candy, and that just once in a while as a treat. It's not terrible for me, but definitely regularly is no good for me. So, and yeah, Deb says, love bacon, but it's a bit too processed for me. Ribeyes, minced beef, and chicken thighs are my foods. And yeah, Deb, I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to as you go through the process, and you become sort of, I mean, I think we just get more cleaned out, right? As time goes on and as we eat this way longer, we become a more pure vessel. That's a funny way of saying it. I you guys know what I mean. We become more sensitive in some ways, and I don't mean that in a negative way. We're more sensitive because we have a clean slate, right? And so, I think that the processed foods start to, you know, you can start to recognize them as being processed. Your body doesn't deal with them as well as it does the others. And that starts to become a lot more obvious. The further you go down this road, the more you experiment, get away from those things and come back to them. So I agree, Deb. Bacon, I definitely wouldn't want to eat it daily. So Esther says, can you eat tuna and sardines? So I'll answer that, Esther, is I can eat tuna. I haven't tried sardines. I ate some cod livers that were packed in their own oil, and they made me really sick. And so I think for me, it still comes down to the fat, that if I take in too much of a real liquid fat, my body really doesn't process it well. So sardines are kind of on the cusp, right? I think if I were just to eat a few sardines, I'd probably be fine. I can certainly eat most fish. I can eat salmon and halibut and things like that. Tuna, I don't eat much, because it's so lean. But I do enjoy it, and it does treat me. It feels fine when I eat it. So I don't know if that helps or not, but, oh, Jackie, I'm glad to hear. Yeah, it really was genuine concern. And I do, you know, I do think there's value in exploring those extremes on the outskirts, especially for those of us who are still have, you know, a ways to go. Like, you know, even me, I still have bathroom issues. And if there was something that someone said that was something I could experiment with to try, I'm always, for the most part, open-minded. So, yeah. So anyways, Kuhner mentioned the dairy, his candy too. Yeah, dairy is very much candy. Yeah, Kuhner, I missed that comment of yours. I see it now. I'm the same way with dairy. Cheese I just love. And the little experience I've had with it since I've been zero carb has led me to believe that it's a really bad idea for me. And I'm scared. You know, that's the funniest thing about all this is the farther I go down this path, I keep thinking I'm like open-minded and, oh, maybe I'll try that. Maybe I'll try that. But when I really evaluate whether I'm going to try something or not, the honest answer is that for a lot of stuff, I'm scared to try. I mean, what I experienced, you know, when I was sick, the pain and losing consciousness and bleeding, I mean, it's just nothing's worth that. So, yeah. So cod liver was hard for me to eat, Kuhner. I didn't actually mind the taste, but the texture and the oil and it just turned my stomach. So do you still eat dark chocolate, Kuhner? You say you would like to. I don't think that means you do. I wonder if you have. I've been curious about that too. Like, should I try it? And then I'm like, I'm scared, you know, I wouldn't, like if it was like bacon, you know, like I could have it once every few weeks and have a little bad bathroom episode and that was no big deal, I'd be into it. But I'm afraid it's going to, when I did cheese, you know, I just ended up that neck. There was a day I ate some cheese not too long ago, and the day after I ended up, I mean, I was really in pain. So I don't know. It's hard to balance all those things. Debs is with us on dairy. She spends most of the time wanting to give it up, but struggle. Yeah, it is a struggle. Once you open that gate too, it's hard. And that's one of the biggest things about diet in general, is once you have something in your daily kind of routine in your diet, it's amazing how much you have to go through to get it out of there. As Jackie will attest with bacon, you know, bacon was just no problem, part of your normal deal. To drop it out seems like a big deal at that point. But then once you get there, you realize, oh, why didn't I do that? So it's interesting. So Jackie says, this is hard to reveal, but want to tell Karen I've done 3 different 30-day fasts in the past. No long-term benefits other than I know I won't die if I don't eat. Which, you know, I think, Jackie, that's about where I am with fasting. I've never done a 30-day, but I did do some fasting, and it was good for me in that sense, that I learned to push past those comfort levels, and you won't die if you won't eat, you'll be fine. But you know, she also has some other challenges, so hopefully she'll make some progress, or at least learn something. That, you know, for me, a big part of this was just learning what I can and can't do and things like that. So more power to her, right? So Esther says, dairy is addictive to me. I love it, but can't control it. Yeah. Yep. That's tough. It is a tough one. So Kuhner says, I don't. I think you're referring to the chocolate. But you've had some small pieces like a month ago. Interesting. I'm catching up. Turned out you still love it. Didn't seem to cause any problems, but it's too addictive anyway. Interesting. Yeah, I'm really curious about that. I'll probably have the same. I would guess, you know, like my preemptive, the way I feel about it without even having done it yet. Like when I go to the store and look at it, I go, oh, you could probably try it. And then I have that same sort of thought process right at the end. I'm like, yeah, maybe it wouldn't hurt you. Maybe you'd love it and it wouldn't hurt you. And then you'd just want it more. And what's the point? So yeah, you just kind of, turns out it's too addictive and it just drives you to want it. So, so Esther, you have a little bit of dark chocolate every day. Interesting. Yeah. Cause I guess all of us as carnivores now, we're going to prefer the, you know, the real dark, not sweet versions. And Deb says dark chocolate, if only I could have the odd square, but I can't cause I love it too much. And if I start, can't stop. Lynn, 90% is my total weakness. Totally addictive, Deb. Couldn't agree more. That's so all of my life. And this is something that Zero Carb really, showed me with such clarity. And I never recognized this prior to being Zero Carb, but now I recognize it and it's so profound. All of my life, I would just binge on cookies or ice cream or chocolate like that Lint you're describing. And it was how I consumed those things. I was never a big, huge person. I didn't look like a binge eater. I wasn't really a binge eater by any definition. But if you, for instance, every Christmas, ever since I was young, my aunt would make Christmas cookies and she would give us all a big tin full of Christmas cookies. Well, up until the time I was 46 or 47, you know, whatever, just a few years ago, 47 years old, I would go home to my family for Christmas. I would take that tin and I would put it in my car and I would start driving home and I would eat one cookie. And by the time I got home, all the cookies would be gone and I would literally be throwing up. I would spend the next 24 hours with diarrhea and vomiting because I would eat all of the cookies. And I did that forever. I would eat all of the ice cream. I wouldn't be able to put a whole gallon. I could put it away 10 times in a day and go back and go get it. And drinking beer was the same thing. My friends used to say, man, you're not an alcoholic. Why are you still drinking? And I could stay up all night. And I honestly think it was just the carbs. And so the chocolate, the addiction, I just have that addiction to food type stuff. Yeah, and Kuhner, right, might not hurt you and love feeling the stability without stuff like that mentally. Not being disturbed by thinking about or considering if I should or could have a piece. Exactly. I mean, that's just it. It's a slippery slope, right? And it's so easy to be on this side of the fence. But once you step into that arena, things are way different and far more difficult. So I agree. I just prefer to not eat any at all. And I know that, you know, it's funny for those of us who aren't, you know, if you're talking to someone who isn't zero carb, those things are going to sound, you know, sort of odd or like you're trying to control some underlying issue. But I think it's, you have to be here to understand that, no, the control really is natural and internal. And you recognize that you lose control when you give yourself over to the carbohydrates, at least for me. And it's just like losing control when you give yourself over to alcohol or nicotine or, you know, any other substance like that. And this is reminding me of a conversation I had online with a friend this week that we were talking about the addictiveness of nicotine and sugar and things like that. And I don't have anything more to comment on that. I just, should you be watching this, AA, cheers, bud. You just reminded me of that conversation. And there I am. calling it addictive again. Addictive isn't really the right word, but you guys know what I mean. So Jackie says, tried your country pork ribs with the rub minus the onion powder and all seems okay. So I think you were right, Matt. Very exciting because I like to make them when we have company. That's awesome, Jackie. I'm so glad to hear that. So yeah, my experience is that spices can have pretty dramatic different, you know, impacts on me. And like I told you last week, some of those things sounded like stuff I wouldn't want to eat. Onion powder definitely puts the hurt on me. So really glad to hear that that made a difference for you. That's wonderful, Jackie. I'm so happy about that. So hey, you guys, let's talk about my blood tests a little bit real quick. I just wanted to go back to that because I just touched on it real quick. So as you guys know, I entered into that partnership with letsgetchecked.com, and I have a link in my description in there if you guys want to go check it out. You can use my code zero carb and get 20% off. But what I want to talk about was my tests. I just wanted to let you guys know that that I did, I think I touched on it briefly, but I did do the vitamin test and it came back that my vitamin D was low. And so because I was, you know, interested in seeing if they do, Jackie. Yes. Jackie asked, do they help you understand your results? And yes, Jackie, the cost of the blood test includes consultation with a physician on their end. So you can absolutely, they're really great, actually. They seem to offer really, really good personal service. And I think people take it up on different levels, but if you are at all wondering what your results mean, you know, whether you need to take action, how you might approach them, they have a great staff. I've been really, really pleased with the kind of work they do. So Esther says, when we have health problems, we're more connected with our inner selves. And that's so true, Esther, so true. So I think you're right that at least this journey for me these last few years has really brought me a much better understanding of what's going on inside of me. I'm really thankful too that I've had this time to learn about it. But so going back to my blood tests, I was really pleased to get those results and be able to make some changes. I did buy some vitamin D pills, you guys, some supplements. I bought a 10,000 IU, a real clean one, right? Nothing in it. I think it's olive oil based, a gel, you know, capsule, and the vitamin D. Well, they say take them with food, so I took them 2 days last week. I think I forgot to talk about this. I think I've had them about a week and a half now. So this happened more last week than it did this week. I think it manifested a little bit at the beginning of this week. But they also led me to kind of be out of control with my bathroom habits. So I woke up in the middle of the night the first day I took one. And had to use the toilet with diarrhea, and then a few times more that next morning. And so I didn't take one for another day, and I took one another day after that, and had the same effect. So I'm not going to worry about my vitamin D deficiency because the supplements aren't doing me any good. Or, you know, maybe I'll try again and try another couple times. But for the most part, they... the supplements seem to take me backwards, and I haven't been able to discern any difference. You know, that was 2 days, so 20,000 IU more vitamin D than I was getting in the other days, and I didn't feel any different. I don't know. Maybe, and the sun's coming out. I've been outside suntanning, so I don't know. Thanks for the attaboy there, Kuhner. Yeah, you know, I'm with you. Kuhner says it's always hard. I always find it hard to trust that stuff. Brave to try. And yeah, Kuhner, I am. You know, I'm definitely more inclined to sit back and not do anything and take the real passive approach. But I told myself I was going to act on those blood tests and see if I noticed a difference. So I at least gave it a effort. Interesting, Esther. Esther says there's vitamin D supplements you can apply to your skin, like oil. Maybe you can try that. That's interesting. And I might. Again, I'm not really buying into the whole idea that my vitamin D levels are necessary. I mean, they weren't zero. They were just like slightly below the, I can't remember what the numbers were. I want to say I was 19 and they said the recommended low was 25 or something like that. So I wasn't very far out. And I'm honestly not terribly concerned about someone telling me that a number's low and so I should get the number up. As we've talked about many times in this podcast, I'm much more inclined to base my evaluations, you know, based on how I feel and things like that. So, you know, I'm going to keep evaluating that. And I definitely would like to explore, you know, keep making progress. I feel like if I was deficient in a way that was affecting me, that when I took such a large intake of vitamin D, that I would have noticed a significant change in something. But, you know, like if it was hurting me and now I'm better, I don't know. At any rate, you guys, I feel great. I've been feeling really good other than the little hiccups that I talk about. But, you know, physically I've been feeling great. I've been going out and cutting down a tree every day and putting a cord of wood in the woodshed, you know, every few days and working hard. My energy's been good. My mood is stable. My attitude's good. You know, I'm not too worried about those numerical deficiencies. What I will worry about is, you know, symptoms, signs, things like that. So, yeah, Jackie, it's interesting. If the vitamins I try have bad stuff in them, you could always try Pure Vitamin Club, no additives. And I know that is what I was going for, Jackie. I tried to get these ones I have really don't have anything else in them. I think it was the olive oil. I think it's just the you know, vitamin D needs a carrier that's fat. So I don't know. So yeah, Esther, and I don't know, vitamin D depends on skin type, and darker skin, the more you need. You don't have to adapt to the standard vitamin D. And so I just don't know where to, you know, put any of that in context with numbers and all that. I feel like the best thing I can do is evaluate how I feel day to day and respond accordingly with the information I have. So knowing that I have low vitamin D numbers, if I had some symptoms that sort of dovetailed with that and I took the vitamin D and it got better, I would start to think, okay, there's some feedback here that, you know, I can look into the interplay and maybe adjust my, you know, my program to make things better. But I'm not seeing any of that input into my systems, as it were. I'm not seeing any of that data coming in. It just is like the data on the numbers is there, but there's no feedback from the health side. You know, I feel great, so it's not supporting a deficiency. When I eat the vitamins, it's not making me feel better. So yeah, I do. I think that, Esther, that you're right. We're all different. And, you know, I get so much sun compared to most folks. I'm sure you can tell my skin. I'm usually, you know, pretty tan. And I feel like my body handles the sun and the vitamin D, manages it pretty well. And Jackie Jam says, if they cut it with bad olive oil, then yes, the USDA allows them to cut their oil with substandard oils and still call it virgin pure olive oil. Oh, interesting. That's a really good point, Jackie. Like, it could be like canola oil, olive oil mix. Yeah, whatever it is. I mean, even if it was the best olive oil, I still feel like my body doesn't maybe necessarily process that really well. So, whatever. I'm not... Like I said, you know, so about a year ago or maybe more, Mike, Carnomad, Mike made a great observation. He said, maybe what you're missing is vitamin K. He goes, in my opinion, it might be the vitamin K since you cook all your food so much. That was, I forget who it was. oh, I think it was Weston Price's Magic Ingredient or something that Mike tipped me off to. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to try that. And so I did. I bought vitamin K supplements, and it was the same story. They came, you know, with an olive oil carrier, and they just made me feel worse in the short term. So I never really got very far down that road. I mean, I did try and take them for a week, but yeah. So Jackie says the book Extra Virginity explains all that about the oil. Just saying. Yeah, no, I totally, man, totally, totally, totally agree, Jackie, that the oil is probably the culprit, and that the worse the oil, the worse the impact on me, for sure. And I think that those vegetable oils are a real strong trigger for me. I'm starting to believe that, because I feel like every time I get the littlest exposure to them, I have really profound reactions. Like if I'm at a restaurant or at my parents' place, I feel like those seed oils are part of what really sends me off in the wrong direction. But I'm not sure. So, and they make them with avocado oil as well, huh? Interesting. Well, what I'll probably do is try and deal with maybe taking, taking a few more and see if it's like, I sort of feel like I'm taking them, trying to wait for like, look at how much better I feel. And I just don't think it's going to happen. So anyways, enough about that. So this morning, you guys, I spent a little time before we got started here. I'll go back and read Jackie's comment here. We were never intended to ingest seed oils and made-up oils. I totally agree, Jackie. I don't think we can process them at all. And lots of info about why we sunburn so bad. Nearly every product is processed with bad oils. Absolutely, Jackie. I'm deep in on the sunburn, bad oils, sunscreen, all of that. I've done a lot of due diligence there, because I don't know if I told you guys this, but ever since I was a very young boy, I have had this. So now I know what it is. Now I know it's part of my autoimmune sensitivities. You know, I've always had things like rashes around my waistband from detergents and things like that. They're gone now because I don't, you know, I'm not inflamed. But so when I was really young, I would swim in a pool and I would get these eyeball attacks from the chlorine, and it would happen like for a couple days after I was in the pool. Like just, I'd be fine the day after, and then sometime in the afternoon, I'd just have this like attack. I mean, just it'd come out of nowhere, and I would just have my eyes just burning red. I couldn't see for like an hour. I'd just be like blurry vision, you know, with tears in my eyes. And that happened when I was really young from the chlorine, and I started to recognize that it was the sunscreen dripping into my eyes. And it was a combination of those two things. I now know that it's both. But at any rate, at a young, pretty young age, I completely stopped putting sunscreen on my face. I recognized I was a surfer. I was in the water. I would put my bullfrog on. I would come back and I would have these horrible eye attacks. And so I started to connect those dots, and I stopped using sunscreen probably. I mean, I'm 50. I probably stopped using sunscreen 38 years ago or something, or 34 years ago or somewhere in there, a long time ago. And I haven't used it since. And I've spent, you know, my lifetime in surfing in the tropics and hiking around on, you know, Colorado's and Utah's sunny peaks. I mean, that was a huge part of my life up until I was 35, almost every day out in that. And it started because I was sensitive to it. And now that I've come full. So anyways, I did a lot of research over those years. And then recently, now that I've been carnivore, I've done more and more. And yeah, Jackie, I don't believe in it. I'm right there with you. I think we have systems that we were made with, that we were built with, that handle those things perfectly and healthily. And we're healthy with those inputs, as long as we, you know, accept them in our natural way. And I believe the problem is just sunburns over and over is what hurts people. So, yeah, Jackie, I so agree with you on all that stuff. so anyways, hey, I wanted to go back and just touch base on, on YouTube. I watched YouTube this morning just to kind of get caught up. It's been so long since I've paid any attention to the carnivore movement, as it were. You know, I kind of got off Twitter and I sort of stopped watching what other people are doing. And so I went back this morning just to kind of thinking maybe it'd bring, give me something else to talk about. And I got to say, I am so glad that I've been out of the loop. And there's nothing wrong with what's going on there. It's actually, it was encouraging because I recognized that we were getting a lot of momentum. But you know, it was interesting to just kind of scan through all the different videos. I flipped through maybe a dozen different videos, and boy, all the different takes. You know, there was all the people. There was the carnivores taking lots of supplements, needing the livers, and there was ex-vegans, and there was what else did I see? I saw nutritionists with you know, getting people started with bile and herbal supplements, and just this, there was just a huge onslaught, as it were. Here's what I did. I searched carnivore diet, and I just looked up like videos new this month. It was really eye opening. I really, I don't know what to, I don't really even know what to say about it, actually. It was just, I mean, I'm one of them. So, you know, like there was all of these new carnivores with their videos, which is fine. I mean, I'm not judging. Actually, I really appreciated all of them sharing their experiences, and it's totally cool. So does my YouTube come up when I search that? Oh, it didn't come up on my own. No. Nope. And, you know, that was one thing that was interesting, was to see all of the new carnivores, like 90 days and newer, with pretty big followings and really pumping out the, you know, the clickbait pieces. And I don't mean that negatively. I just don't know how else to say it, you know, with just the hit title, why I never eat steak on a carnivore diet, or why you don't, do you need a liver fast? You know, just all those things. That was kind of the front page. So I wouldn't make that front page, right? Because the front page is all sort of the hot clicks. So all of those new videos that had the hot clicks, they were all, most of them were fairly small channels, kind of probably equivalent to this one, but they were really, you know, hyping up their clickbait titles. And I mean, to be honest with you, there was a lot of videos there that when I was new, I would have found them certainly interesting, and certainly would have thought they were helpful at the time, and maybe in hindsight, maybe not so much, but it was interesting to see all the information out there now, and to see the new folks, and to see their characters, and their faces, and their health, and some of the old folks I hadn't been aware of. You know, there's some vegans, current carnivores. I watched one guy, he was a calisthenics guy, I can't remember the name, but he had some old pictures of him as like a dreadlock vegan, and new pictures of kind of a clean-cut carnivore, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and it gave me some insight. I think if anything, one thing it showed me is that maybe I should, now that I have some time, maybe try to do some of those clickbait videos. You know, I do have some tips that I don't see people sharing, like how to cook and keep your, you know, living space relatively clean and stuff like that. You know, I think the flat top outside cooking and letting your grease drain into a bucket so you have a single collection point, and I don't know, there's some stuff like that that kind of gave me some ideas to share. But more than anything, it was just really interesting to see sort of the breadth and the scope of kind of the movement. And the variety of the information was what was really interesting, because I think that when I started, you know, 3 years ago, a little more now, the general information was really the zeroing in on health, kind of the Charles Washington crowd had a pretty strong voice. There weren't, it's just that there weren't many other voices is what it was. And so that advice was pretty well accepted. And now, you know, we've got like the people we talked about last week sort of diluting the conversation, as it were. Not, I don't mean that in a negative way, just, you know, spreading it out to different, areas, whether it's, you know, my side of things or, you know, whatever. Anyways, it was interesting to see the different progression of videos out there now. So cool, Kuhner. That's good to hear. You know, I think I'd like to up the channel a little bit. I've done it just as a journal, and that was my original intention, both for me and for you guys, for the people out there who find it useful. But maybe it's time to start adding some, you know, just tips and tricks and kind of the regular little YouTube videos. And especially now as we hopefully transition this into more of a, you know, I'm really enjoying this as live chat. I hope that this works for you guys, and I hope we start to get more folks. Because as live chat, I think this is a really valuable venue, and I really appreciate just getting to hang out with you guys every weekend. So, but that, having this as a live chat actually kind of frees me up a little bit to make a video, because making the videos is a little different. And when I was doing my journals before, sort of filled that, you know, just the sitting down and editing it on the computer and stuff. Once I do that once a week, I'm usually kind of over it for, you know, I have two channels. So, you know, I have a little bit of a workload with each one. And at any rate, I'm rambling, but the point is I've got, I'd like to grow this channel, and I'd like to offer some more information from a long-term, you know, mellow zero carbon perspective. So I don't know, maybe I'll look into it. So going back up here, Jackie says, my favorites to watch are you, Kelly Hogan, and Charles Washington. Yes, please share the cooking. You want easy, and if you can change to make it easier, then yay. That's great to hear, Jackie. Fabulous. Thank you. And Kuhner says, still like some of Sean Baker's stuff to reduce the noise. Yeah, you know what? Our conversation last week, and you reading your guys' comments, and then I got some comments from Mike afterwards, and that was really great, all that stuff. And Kuhner, you know, I don't know if I said it with enough clarity, but you said something last week, and I don't remember what it was, but you commented on Sean, Dr. Baker, and I just wanted to just go back and just give him some more kudos after bashing on everyone else last week. I just wanted to say, Dr. Baker, man, he's the real deal, in my opinion. He has done the best job of taking Charles Washington and this, you know, sort of our long history that I think is really valuable, because those people had to fight those early liver lovers and early supplementers, and they had to fight to get to the eat the meat you want and that you can afford and the simple is best. You know, they had to fight to get there. What I think Dr. Baker, what's so great about him is that he is actually, you know, incredibly intelligent, capable of having the conversations at whatever level with whoever, you know, like when the people come at him about the science and this, you know, and I'm not going to be able to articulate this very well. I'm already struggling, but the thing that's so great about him is that while he has all those abilities and he understands all those aspects, he doesn't default to that. He just kind of comes back to the truths of the old Charles Washington way, which is, you know, eat the meat. We don't know. I don't know what those numbers mean. I don't know what that science says. It's not about us. No one's done studies on us. It maybe is that way. It maybe isn't. We don't know. But here's what I can observe. And I keep coming back to this, and it drives me crazy with the science in the stuff, is that observation is the root of all science. And that's the only science we really have on zero carb right now, is what we can observe. And so I won't rant on it for too long, but I just love Dr. Baker's no nonsense approach to the diet, how he presents it to people, but at the same time, running deep underneath all that, he's got, you know, all the same ammo in his toolbox that someone like Paul Saladino does. But I think his logic is just much, I think he's taking a very, very wise approach, because he's not basing anything on any claimed falsehood. He pretty much stands there and says, I don't know, I'm just waiting to see. And so far it all looks really good. That's what I get from him. And I'm not doing the best job of articulating that, but yeah, he's legit. I love his, everything about that guy, man. Really highly respected right from the get-go, like the way he shares and the way he portrays himself and his life with his family and stuff. He just seems very real. I really appreciate that. Doesn't seem like any of it was BS. You know, like I watched him right from the get-go when he was on Twitter with just a few thousand people, and people, when he started getting bigger, people were attacking him, and, you know, he's trying to sell this. When he started selling stuff, people were like, he's trying to sell this. And I was like, just go back in his Twitter. It's everything he's telling you he's selling, he's just giving away for free. He's selling it because people want to buy stuff. And I know that from my stove experience. I shared all of my stove builds. They were all up there, public domain. They still are. And people started emailing me saying, hey, I want to buy plans. And I was like, I used to email them and say, it's all free right there. And they would email me back and say, I want to buy plans. And sometimes people just want to buy stuff. So, you know, I love that about Sean. And I, you know, that he's always been solid sharing all that he wants to share. And that when people needed more from him, they said, no, we want to pay you so we can, you know, hold your hand and you can lead us through this. You know, he's like, okay, I can do that too. I really dig his style all the way around. Seems like one of the realest people in the game for sure. So, okay, I just read the comments. Kinder says, agree about Sean. Also like the way he deals with people looking for some YouTube drama. Yeah, me too, Kinder. So I haven't watched in this last, I haven't really kept up with any of that for almost probably a year, but he was always real good about that. And I'm sure if it's still firing off, I never watched any of his responses. So Esther says, Kinder, you're right. There's a little of drama on YouTube, and one, I have in mind one particular young YouTuber. And I think that's potentially maybe who we talked about last week, Esther, or maybe there's more, I don't know. But I haven't seen Sean do any response videos. Maybe he did deal, actually, Kuner, if Sean did do a response video to Frank or to anyone else, just I'd love to, I can go search for it. But if you are speaking about a specific response, let me know. I'd love to go watch it. But yeah, I love his style, love his response. And you know, at the same time, I'm not a combative, confrontational person, and I don't think he really is either, but he gets a lot of flack for being so aggro towards the vegan community, but he kind of made me come around to his point of view in terms of how he sees his role. As you know, he feels like he needs to be proactive, and I mean, I can't do that. I wouldn't do that, but I can't fault him for it, really. I can't say that he's wrong, especially given the strength of the opposition, right? And all of the messages that come out from the other side. I agree we need a strong voice on our side. So, and he does it in a way that, he never really comes off as, you know, cruel or mean or, you know, looking to be hurtful or spiteful or even he never really is retaliatory. He just, I don't know, to me, he seems pretty even keeled. So with all that stuff, but definitely a little heavier, on the defense and attack than I would be for sure. So. Anyways, it was all really interesting. I really enjoyed it. Going through the YouTubes and sort of just doing the new ones, you miss a lot of the big names. You kind of get, you know, just all the smaller ones. And it was really cool. There was one woman, wish I remember what her name, I'll have to find her. She was great. Small channel, few hundred subscribers, and just had a really, really lovely approach. And her zero carb experience was nice to listen to. So really fun. Good stuff. So let's see, what else, you guys got anything else to share? How's your quarantine food supplying going? Mine's been okay. I, like I said, I went to the store this last week to get some chicken drumsticks for my dog, and I bought some ribs while I was there, and just bacon, you know, what I was just kind of loading up on whatever they had. But so far it's been not too bad to get food. So Kuner says, yes, there's Frank, of course, but lately I think there's also been some vegans calling him out to compete in sports to pay for him to test him for steroids, but not following up on it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, he's really put himself out there, you know, in the firing line for us. And I got to say, I really appreciate it. You know, the one thing I feel for him. I don't feel bad. I want to say, I was going to say I feel badly for him. That's not the right word, but I feel for his position because, you know, Sean's got tested low testosterone, right? Now, I just tested my testosterone. I've been on this diet for just as long as he has. I eat probably what most people would consider arguably, you know, way worse than what he eats because I don't eat much fat. I eat all my food, you know, way overcooked, well done, well done, well done. No supplements, no liver, no eggs, you know. My testosterone was perfect. I mean, perfect. The only thing I had, they were all right in the middle of the range, and I had progesterone, or I think that's the one, was just a tick or two high above the suggested, not very far out of range. But everything else was perfect. So the reason I say I feel bad for Sean is because he's up there having to defend, he's doing his best to defend the diet in the face of what's a personal, probably, deficiency. And man, he's going to get, they're going to just try and crucify him for it, right? So, this is just my silent way of saying I support him, and I don't believe that his, you know, testosterone deficiency is a function of his diet. You know, I just love how open he is about all that stuff. And man, more power to him. I hope he shows those vegans what's up. So Jackie Jam says, I have 14 3-pound logs of ground beef and instructed the hubby to buy them every time he enters the store. Exactly. That's where I'm at, Jackie. That's what I was asking. Because I'm at that point now where I'm going, like when I go to town, I'm like, okay, every time you go to town, you better just top the, you know, let's keep that freezer topped off until we know that isn't going to be an issue anymore. Because right now I can go months. But boy, it would sure get scary if I needed to, wouldn't it? So Kuhner says, my supply has been okay too, shifting more and more towards local farms. Now that's cool. That's really interesting, Kuhner. So I'm wondering how it is over there. So today, you say, today I started experimenting with eating less fat. Burgers and egg yolks is my first meal. Mostly fish and eggs is my second meal. Interesting, Kuhner. You'll have to definitely keep us posted on that. You know, for me, I do better that way, but I'll be curious to hear what your perception is. Esther says, supply on supermarkets back to normal, but more expensive, and you have to wait to enter like 30 minutes queue each time. Wow, pretty significant. Esther, I don't remember which country you're in. I would like to say Spain, but I'm not sure. You don't need to tell me if you don't want to. I just wondered, are you in a busy city, though? Is that 30 minutes, is that happening all over the country, or is that just in the urban areas? And then Kuhner says, couldn't his testosterone be because of the amount of exercise he does? I'm no expert, but I think I heard something like that. You know, Kuhner, I don't know either. I can speculate. I can tell you what my opinion is. But I honestly don't know. But I will tell you this. I don't know if it's accurate or not. So I've been laying off my exercises a little bit lately. I'm definitely giving myself a little more leeway to relax. I'm not pushing myself quite as hard, but these past 3 or 4 years, I'm definitely no Sean Baker. He really hammers himself. But I was pushing pretty hard. So I would think that if a guy exercised himself, you know, just to sort of a median level of, I mean, for a 50-year-old guy, I'm pretty fit. I don't, you know, I've kind of got a six pack. I don't, whatever. I'm just trying to say that, I feel like it would manifest in me at some level as well. Like I would have had moderately low levels if hard exercise and cause I wear myself out, man. I, you know, much like Sean Baker probably does, I'm starting to notice that I'm 50 and I don't notice it in any way except for, how sort of physically tired my body is like a day after my workout and not like, ooh, I can feel the workout, more like, oh God, I just don't have any energy. You know, like I really wiped myself out. Like it's sort of like overall, wiped out, which is kind of what I think is what is the, would lower our testosterone. You know, your body's just like, it can't make everything it needs to because you've hammered it so hard. So I don't know. I feel like I would be susceptible to that too. So I feel like maybe that's a part of it, but I, at the same time, maybe it's just him. I don't know. So, Esther says, moving back to Madrid by the end of the year from Spain, but you live in Paris. Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, wow. Well, that sounds so lovely and romantic, Esther. I would love to visit Paris and Spain. I'm going to one of these days once we can travel again. And Madrid, how lovely. That sounds wonderful. My parents love traveling in Spain, and they always rave about Madrid. So hopefully I'll get to come visit one of these days. And little Viking coach has been using a blowtorch to cook my steaks, getting prepared if the grid goes down. Viking coach, I've done that. I haven't cooked them all the way, but I've definitely like put the sear on them with the blowtorch. It's actually pretty awesome. It works really good. It definitely sprays grease and stuff everywhere, though. It's a good one to do outside. But that's a fun way to go for sure. I guess if you wanted it rare and seared on the outside, that would be the ultimate, right? Jackie says, we are possibly going to build a freezer room into our new garage, construction starting this summer. Yeah. You know, I think one thing about this pandemic is it's kind of making people sort of rethink preparedness in their own lives. It is for me. It's interesting because I spent a lot of my life kind of as someone, you know, here on my farm that was pretty prepared. And I always talked about it. I always hated the preppers, the idea of the preppers. I didn't like the negative connotations about prepping for a disaster. I liked the prepping for the joy of you know, the joie de vivre, whatever, you know, like because you're alive, because you're growing all those tomatoes and you want to put them up, and, you know, because you're growing these animals and you want to put them in the freezer and just be, you know, ready for the winter, the seasons. You know, seasons are part of life. Preparedness is not a, you know, is not prepping for a disaster. It's preparing to be alive and to experience more of this wonderful place we get to live in. So I always sort of had like, it was hard because I, you know, ran around in these permaculture prepping communities and I taught at workshops about how to be self-sufficient stuff. So I'd have to kind of balance those different goals of people or different, it's different motivations, the same goal. But at any rate, I think that this event is making a lot of people reevaluate, and I'm going to say that that I still don't believe that that prepping for a disaster is the right way to go about it. I think prepping for the future, you know, for your future life, is a much more healthier way to look at it, because it's just the way we used to live. To me, needing to go to the store every day is just no way to spend your life, whether it's you know, a shortage of food. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that just seems like a waste of a day going to the store every day. Anyways, I don't know. I don't know how to describe hopefully you guys get it. I'm just going to stop. Jackie says exactly. So I'll just leave it there. Having food put up is good. Our families did this back in the day. Smoked meats, put things in the cellar. You know, that's it. I mean, that's just living, you know, that's just a rich life. And it's so enjoyable, you know, to plant things and grow them and harvest them and preserve them and put them up in your nest. I mean, it's what mice and rats and birds and bears and, you know, everybody does it. It's just natural and it feels good. And and so I get frustrated with the people with guns and buried barrels full of stuff talking about politics. I'm like, do it anyway. Like, just do it because it's joyful. It's the joy of living, and then you won't have to worry about the politics. If you had this stuff figured out anyways, you wouldn't even be worried. You wouldn't need a tactical vest and a gun. So thanks, Deb. Oh, I'm such a dork. Sorry. Anyways. So, yeah. You know what? You guys made me feel so much better about my haircut. Thanks. Not panicking, but definitely eat what I want to eat. And that's just, I mean, that's exactly, Jackie. I mean, the flip side is I would be panicking if I didn't have that stuff ready. And I totally get where all those people are. I get where they're coming from. I just feel like they've been given they just were sold a bad package from the get-go. And so their whole point of view is skewed, you know? Unfortunately, I'm not picking on them. Just people are born into a world where you wake up and look in the refrigerator and eat your snack and then go to the store and get some more. And, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't, it's not a real sustainable life. At least once, you know, the economy stops, which I don't know. This is, life to me has always been about the world around you, and not the economy. So, and there's other people who are 100% the opposite, and I don't know that one's wrong or one's right. So, Jackie, yes, you can. So when you replay the video, it should replay the comments next to the video. I'm pretty sure you should be able to. I've been trying to figure it out on YouTube, though. Sometimes it seems like it doesn't. You know what? Yeah, Kuhner says it is. I've seen it there, and then sometimes I've tried and it wasn't there, and I don't know if it's a setting or not. On my other channel, I've started to put the chat up here on the screen so it's recorded, and I can start doing that here too if it becomes a problem. Maybe I'll just default to doing that because then it just plays with the video, and then you can watch full screen and still get the chat. So I'll probably start doing that. I apologize that I didn't do it this time. So... but I think it should still be there on if you watch the video through the right way. So, and I try and do a good job of repeating what at least what I'm responding to so that the video makes sense. Part of the reason for that, Jackie, is that I still am publishing these as podcasts. And I still have people, I think you were one of them maybe, who was just listening only. Yeah, exactly. So that's why. That's why. That's right, Jackie. You're a podcast listener. So that's why I try and do it. I try and still. I'm trying to remember that some of the audience is only listening. So, so I do try and read back what I'm responding to and stuff like that. So I'll continue to do that. Because it's I'm really enjoying this whole format, the venue in general. So as I said, I'm broadcasting on a cellular SIM card modem right now, and we got a much better stream going. I upped the quality. Looks like we haven't had the dropouts. So I'm going to try and keep it going. We'll see. I got to evaluate the data rate. They charged me like $60 a month for 5 gigs, and I used up like half of it last week. I think I can get 10 gigs for an extra $30 a month or something like that. So I'll see if I can manage to maintain this, this internet rate. But I'm really pleased that it's working. At least it looks like we have an alternative. And if I can figure out how to manage the data so I don't use it up too fast, I think we can keep doing this. So I'm going to keep trying. So yeah. I'm really, really pleased the stream is working. And I'm so thankful to have all you guys here. Thanks so much for chatting with me this week, you guys. It makes such a big difference. So this week coming up, how about you guys? You guys got any stuff planned? I'm going to be staying here. I took a little break from working out. I did one workout this week. It was kind of my break week. I took a little break for the end of the week. yeah, that's cool, isn't it, Jackie? I always actually look in my screen behind me when I can see myself and look at the clock there. It's pretty handy. And it's fun on live chat. It's like real time. So this week I'm going to try and get back to working out pretty hard. I kind of slacked off a little bit. I'd like to get back on my bike. Need to get a lot of firewood in the woodshed. And I've got some videos I want to make for my stove channel. And maybe I'll come around to a cooking video for this channel. But I'm going to get back to work. Deb, you're moving house. That's a big week. Hope you got some help. is that tough with the quarantines and stuff? I wonder. Hope you're not moving too far. And Kuhner, you're 9 hours ahead, so you're heading to dinner time. You're probably eating dinner. 9 hours, yeah, you're done with dinner. You're ready. You're getting ready for bedtime. Well, I hope you have a good week, my friend. I hope you get in that climbing gym and get after it. I'm gonna do my best to get after it this week. Try and be physical. Kind of realizing that quarantine ain't going away. I've been doing a good job of staying on my program, but it's time to kind of buckle down, I think. So I'm gonna refire up a little harder workout program. I'm gonna try and fill my woodshed in the next couple weeks. Those are my goals. Other than that, I'm just gonna stay positive, stay in the moment, try and stay here and stay safe, and just keep making progress. So I hope you guys do the same. I think that's enough for today, huh? No climbing till September. Oh, I forgot about the gym. You got your rings. I forgot the gym's closed. So, not that big of a move, says Deb. You're in the UK by default. Came here to see family and got stuck. Oh, Deb, how interesting. Wow. Well, I could I could ask you questions all day. That sounds so fascinating. I mean, wow. I don't even, like I said, I don't even know where to start. It's like, it sounds incredibly difficult and also sort of exciting. Oh, you live in Dubai. Okay. That was my first question, was wondering where you would move, where you lived. Yeah. Interesting. So are you not able to go back, because of laws in Dubai, or are you not able to go back because of laws in the UK, or are you just choosing not to go back? I don't mean to pry. It's so fascinating that, I mean, you're literally stuck there, I guess. It looks like you're staying. Wow. You don't need to answer that. It's all just really fascinating. But I'm glad you're here with us. And I hope that your time in the UK is okay. At least I guess you're spending some time with your family, and it sounds like you spent enough time with them. It's time to get your own place. But I hope you can travel soon too, says Esther. That's a difficult situation. I see. Yeah. You're just slowly opening. You need permission from the United Arab Emirates government. Interesting, Deb. Well, best of luck to you, Deb. And I really hope that you make the best of it. It sounds like your life is impacted far more than mine, for sure, and than most, I would guess. So, hope you're hanging in there. Be interesting to hear about your carnivore challenges, being with your life being so upended and being so displaced. I can imagine that's challenging, but you're here, so I assume you're sticking with it. So, wow. Really, 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 really interesting, though. And I hope it changes for you. I hope things work out for you. All good, God, Zoom. Perfect. We're all stuck. It's amazing what a difference that makes. You know, my sister put us together with my folks on her birthday. Was a couple weeks ago, and we did like a family, you know, video chat, and we've done it a couple times since then. That's really, really a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I'm glad you got Zoom. Well, all right, you guys, we've been going for almost an hour and 15 minutes, so I guess that's enough for today. I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate you guys being here. It makes such a difference to have folks to chat to, and it's really great, you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. I'm going to work on staying fit. I'm going to work on making some videos, and I'll come back next week and share my progress. We'll see what's changed. So I hope you guys have a great week. Hope you guys get on your rings, get out in the sun, get in your gardens. Hope you have a good weekend moving there, Deb and Jackie. You're very welcome. I really appreciate you guys. So I'll keep doing it. So hope you guys have a great week. I guess that's it for now. And I appreciate all you guys too very much. Esther, Deb, Kuhner, Jackie, Sarah, whoever I'm forgetting. Oh, little Indian, are you in there still? I don't know. But bye, you guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to sign off and let the video roll. I'll see you guys next week. All right. Bye, you guys.